With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello and welcome back to the Keith Cheggers podcast. This is officially week 40 of the podcast, which is episode 35. I'm your host. My name's Hannah Norris and I'm here, as always, with
Carl Donnelly,
who's my husband. And
father.
Yeah, yes, father.
That's it. Really.
And currently baby whisperer. He has our now 6.5 week old daughter on his chest, keeping her chilled.
Yeah, we've never recorded when I've been in this reclined position.
Yeah. And as listeners would know, we had our baby at week 38, but decided to just keep recording a few more episodes as we kind of move into parenthood and talking to a couple more guests and kind of rounding this up at week 42, which is the kind of term you can get for a pregnancy.
Yes.
Yeah, we're experts on pregnancy now because we've done it. So today we're talking to someone who is still a bit of a novice because she is currently pregnant. She's a comedian and a podcaster and a writer. And we've just kind of met each other on Twitter. So we're talking for the first time in person or over Zoom right now. And her name is Julie J. Hello.
Hi, guys. I'm so happy to be here with you today. Thanks so much for having me on.
You're very welcome.
You also get to, you're one of the few people that have met Twyla so far.
I feel honoured. She's such a cutie pie.
We did one in week 30 of my pregnancy. We spoke to Katie Mulgrew, who's in Manchester.
Yeah.
And had her probably six week old as well.
6 weeks.
6 week old baby with her. So it's kind of
so lovely.
Getting replicated here.
Yeah.
But you're in Ireland.
I am. I'm like in Ireland. So I'm like as west as you can go at the moment because I'm in Kerry.
So
we're actually in, I don't know if you heard of Dingle, the Dingle Peninsula.
I do know Dingle. I've been to Dingle.
Have you? Because Hannah, I do love it. But usually people just think Emmerdale with the Dingles. And I'm like, yes, they originate from the Dingle Peninsula. But yeah, so it's great. I mean, like a lot of people, we hadn't intended to be down here because my partner and I are both comedians.
Yeah.
So we have been living in Dublin and then we were trying to find somewhere in Dublin. It was so hard. And then the pandemic happened, so we just came down here because my family are from here. So we had a little house that we could stay in. So it's all very kind of like accidental.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was actually quite nice how it worked out.
Yeah, we had a similar, because I'm from Australia and we'd gone over there for the Melbourne Comedy Festival because I worked for the festival and Carl was doing a show. And we went out a bit early and it got cancelled while we were there. So then we kind of had 2 weeks where we were deciding, where we kind of got in motion, like we might have to be here in Australia to have the baby and sort of
you
know, changing those plans and changing that idea of what it was going to be, which was weird. How's that been for you having to like...
I mean, it is probably a bit of upheaval in that I think you always have a plan in your head of what's happening.
Yeah.
And then with something like the pandemic, obviously the plan goes out the window. But for first pregnancy, I think it probably has affected the experience considerably because, you know, first of all, we didn't think we'd be down here having the baby. And, you know, then like there's all the usual stuff that the partners can't come in with you for the scans and stuff.
Yeah.
I presume, was that the same for you guys?
Yeah, I couldn't go in for scans. I wasn't allowed into the hospital once we got back from Australia and everything was locked down.
Yeah.
The first day I was allowed in was basically the birth. And even then I wasn't allowed in for the first bit where they were checking how far dilated Hannah was. It wasn't until
he was just in the corridor.
I had to wait in the corridor and it wasn't until Hannah was moved into the actual birth suite we had that was when they said, all right, you're in.
But he had a wristband, I realised, kind of quite late in the day, like
a festival wristband. Yeah.
It said birth partner.
Birth partner.
No, birth partner, not just some random perv hanging out in birth suites getting his fix.
Which might be me from now on.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I think that probably has, you know, affected it a bit, because I know I do feel bad for my partner. You know, he's kind of like Don Draper, you know, a 1950s, 60s husband.
I kept thinking about Don Draper so
it's
much.
It's unbelievable. I mean, like all the maternity wards, by the way, and the maternity hospitals, they've been so amazing, but they do kind of feel like a Margaret Atwood novel.
Yeah.
Like you go in and it's just, there's like no men, it's just you, you're there on your own. So it is quite strange, but I mean, ultimately, I know this is such a cliche thing to say, the most important thing is that we're so delighted to be pregnant and having a baby. So, you know, even if it's during pandemic, grand.
Yeah, you know, no one could have predicted the world was going to be like this now. And even for this recording, this podcast, when people listen to it, and they're going, well, I'm not actually in a pandemic at the moment, so this kind of doesn't relate to me. Oh,
exactly. And I am optimistic things are going to get better and it'll all be fine. But it's probably been a unique enough experience, I think.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, weirdly, I'd say, you know, obviously there's a lot of negatives in terms of, but there's definitely been positives, though, in terms of the amount of rest you got before the actual birth.
I saw an article the other day, which I'm going to say I read, but I didn't. I just read the headline. But it said there's been fewer premature births around the world.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
And because people are having more rest and not working right up to the date.
Yes.
But with that as well, because I always had the sense that she was going to come early. Like I would tell people, they're like, no way, you know, she's the first pregnancies, you're always late. It always takes ages. But I was like, I think she is. And I wonder as well, because I was well rested and kind of did lots of lying around and not wasn't stressed at all in those in those last few weeks, that was part of the reason why she did come early.
Yeah, and I think there has definitely been positives. Like, for example, I was supposed to be on tour right up, I think, until practically I was giving birth. I had this tour in, and, you know, then Edinburgh, I just kind of cancelled at the last minute because I realised I was going to be too pregnant. Yeah. But I said to my partner, actually, from that point of view, it's been a dream, really.
Yeah.
I haven't had to drive around because, you know, the evenings you do get very tired. So the evening is my time where I'm just like in the pajamas by 6 o'clock. So that's been great that I've kind of avoided all that.
It's funny, some of the first guests that we spoke to, because at that point I was still making plans to maybe do a tour after the comedy festival and working kind of closer to the due date. And first of all, Felicity Ward, she was like, nah, don't do it. We spoke to her when she was 38 weeks pregnant and she was like, I wish I'd stopped working a bit earlier.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. And then Wendy Wason, who we spoke to with her third child.
Yeah, she did a show when she was
nine months. Yeah. Wow. She did a show in Edinburgh and she would be backstage and she was 9 months pregnant and that was fine.
And how did she find it?
Well, it was her third child, so she was a bit more, you know, she knew what she was doing a bit more. Mm-hmm. But again, she was like, I wouldn't do that. You know, I kind of did it that time, but it was nice. It's, you should just take the time and rest and if you can.
I mean, I think, you know, with comedy, it's so all consuming as well as a career. I mean, it is a type of madness in a way. Like, in any other job, you'd be happy to step back a couple of weeks beforehand.
Yeah.
In comedy, you're like, no, I want to be up there, you know, to the bitter end. But I think, you know, it's such a special time that... Yeah. Like originally when I found out I was pregnant, I know a few of my male friends, I was really debating whether or not I should do Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And like any of my male friends, it was so funny. Like they were all like, do it. It'd be great. You'd be like Ali Wong up there. It'd be fantastic with the bump. It'd be brilliant. And my female friends who've had babies were like, no, please, don't do this. You know, even one of them said to me, Julie, imagine your water is breaking on the Royal Mile when you're surrounded by drama students. Is that not just your worst nightmare?
Or even like imagine having, you know, every Edinburgh Fringe, we've all done it, that you always have like a couple of shows over the run that are just pretty thankless and hard work. Imagine that being the day you go into labour after one of them, and that's what you remember as well as giving birth.
Do you know what? You'd have to just, if it was a really bad show, you'd have to pretend you were having contractions or something and just make it end.
It'd be a way out, like, yeah.
I think my waters are broken. I have to, and just go hide behind the curtain and have a cup of tea or something. So no, I think, you know, again, when I started out, I was all like, oh, it'll be great. I'll gig until the very end. But now, obviously, you know, that choice has kind of been removed from the equation. But I'm delighted that I didn't have to do that.
Yeah. Because we were going to go to Edinburgh this year. So Carl,
yeah, I was
doing
the show. Okay. And that we
just, you'd had the posters done. And
I'd had everything sort of, I'd written half the show and everything. And then, you know, it was all, we were thinking, oh, it'd be cool, we'll take the baby up and she'll be 6.5 weeks, 7 weeks old. And we thought it'd be really fun. And she's just heard that and she's not happy about it.
But she's no.
But she wanted to go to Edinburgh.
But it's interesting because some people are like, no, I think you're crazy. That's like, I mean, I wasn't going to be working. I was just going to be taking care of baby. But Carl was going to be doing his show. People was like, it's crazy, you know, you want to be at home, but now where we're at, I reckon we could have been in Edinburgh. I could have definitely been up there hanging around and seeing people and looking after the baby, and I think Carl would have been able to do his show. But yeah, as we all know, that's not happening this year.
It's not happening. And I was kind of, because I was stressing, because no more than that, Carol, like I had, because my partner wasn't doing a show this year and I was determined to do a show, so I was ready to rock. But no more than that, I had, because I committed to various things, I was looking at this huge bill when I pulled out. So I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? Because this bill is huge. So thankfully, because it got cancelled, it actually kind of saved me in the end from a few bits and bobs.
Yeah.
Financially speaking. But I mean, again, like, I mean, I've been in Edinburgh and done the whole like support a partner thing when I'm not doing a show. And this year our plan was, you know, obviously I was going to be heavily pregnant, but, you know, Fred would be there to kind of provide the support and things.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's something I would love to do with a baby for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, next year I'd love to do it, but I don't want to be naive about it either.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, by that time you'll be well aware of what your capacity is and what you're able to do and what you're not able to do.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we, so at the moment we're at kind of 6-7 weeks. She's definitely, for us, she's got a bit more vocal at the moment.
Oh, yeah, you can probably hear it in the background. She's definitely going through a growth spurt, which means she's really started. So she's got some new noises this last few days.
So it was a bit of a, you know, it's a risk going, oh, can we record a podcast while we're sitting here with a baby? So we're giving it a go.
No,
so
yeah,
at some point I might just have to run off with her into another room.
I think she's so good. I love it.
And I had, with that thing about changing plans, for me being in Australia, I had the difficult thing because I'm 40 and we would have, if we stayed there.
Okay, stop. Hang on. Press pause. You're what age?
I'm 40. 40. Yeah.
You literally look, I'm not just saying this, you look like 26, 27.
Nah.
I'm reaching for the moisturizer right now as we're doing this podcast. Is it too late for me? I cannot believe you're 40. You look fab.
Oh, thanks. I feel funny right now.
You're gorgeous.
We were, because we were going to be in Melbourne, and the idea of having the baby there, we were at my parents' house. So there was this thing about being in my high school bedroom, having a baby that I couldn't cope with that. I was like, we have to get back to London.
Yeah.
And like for you kind of being in Dingle, is that where your family is?
Well, they're originally from Dingle, and I would have spent like a lot of time here growing up. But actually my parents live in Kildare, so just outside Dublin. So my teenage bedroom as such is up there. And no more than that, it did kind of feel a bit strange, you know, even when we were staying with them for the couple of days and you're pregnant, it just there's something, because it's regressive, it's bringing you back. Yes. Like my Mark Wahlberg poster is still up there, my Marky Mark, and you just think, oh, it didn't really sit right with me either. And then, you know, as much as I love my parents, I was conscious as well that, you know, we didn't know how long the lockdown was going to go on for. And, you know, you have to have a bit of space as well, especially when you're pregnant.
Mm. Well, in a way, you know, we've definitely had space.
Yeah.
I think we all have.
Yeah. It's that thing of like, you know, you can count on one hand really how many people have met the baby, and she's, six and a half, 7 weeks old. But I know that throughout your pregnancy, you've been doing a blog as well, right?
Yes, A Pregnant Pause. Yeah.
Which in a way is much in much better named than this one, because we've sent a couple of messages on Twitter and you've called me Keith a couple of times.
I know, because I thought that it was Keith Cheggers was the name of the person doing the podcast. I only realised that when it came up, Carol and Anna, I was like, what's going on? And you're so polite, because I've been calling you Keith from day one and she hasn't said anything.
Anna's just been relaying that to me and laughing, so it's fine.
Yeah, because Keith... when we were trying to name the podcast, Carl told me that Keith Cheggers, so there's a, he was an entertainer, right?
Keith Chegwin, yeah.
He's a British entertainer called Keith Chegwin, and his nickname was Cheggers.
Cheggers, essentially.
Okay.
And that's...
I see what they did there, by the way. Yeah. Very clever.
It's rhyming slang for preggers.
It's new modern Cockney rhyming slang for being pregnant.
So Keith Cheggers, preggers.
And Hannah found it very amusing that I referred to her being pregnant as that.
I love that, Keith Cheggers. That's going in the blog this week.
Yeah, there you go.
That is just brilliant.
But I also knew, particularly like not lots of Australian people wouldn't know what it was on about. I hadn't considered the Irish as well.
That's so funny. And there's me calling you Keith.
So I was thinking like, what a creep. Who's this Keith doing a pregnancy
podcast? You know what? It's an easy mistake to make in my defence. I just presume, because Cheggers kind of sounds very English, doesn't it? Like Mr. and Mrs. Cheggers. Yeah.
It makes sense for the name of a podcast to be the person's name who's doing it.
Story checks out. Yeah, absolutely.
And I had a couple of looks at like, I've just... I tell you what, like you don't have time to do much stuff. It's true when you've got a baby. My main thing at the moment is I can't send text messages. It takes me forever even just to respond to a text. So
really?
Once you have a baby, that's for me anyway. That's what I've got no time because I hold her a lot as well. I'm not very good at putting her down, even though Carl's got her right
I'm
now.
I'm going to be the same. Yeah.
So I've had a little look at your blog and I saw gestational diabetes, yeah? Have you got?
Oh yeah, so I have that. Yes,
because I don't think we spoke to anyone who actually we haven't talked about.
It's mooted.
That.
Like obviously, you get told about the.
Everyone has a go. See if they get it.
The chances of getting it. Yeah, but
Well, it's gas because everyone tells me, "Oh, sure, it's so common." And then anyone I ask who's been pregnant, I'm like, "Did you have it?" And they're like, "No." Well, no, it is apparently, I think it happens to 10% or 15% of pregnant women, but it's a funny one because I'm obviously on the special diet. I found out, I was a bit worried because I found out kind of late in the pregnancy that I had gestational diabetes, but they think that I just kind of developed it later on. So, I mean, like, again, I keep saying, like, again, such a hack thing to say and such a cliche, but it is so true that ultimately it doesn't matter as long as the baby's okay. You don't really mind, but it definitely has been an adjustment because you know you have your glucose meter. By the way, complete respect to anyone who has like proper diabetes because it's been a serious learning curve for me. So I have my little glucose meter, so I do my pricks 4 times a day, but it's funny because I'm so bad that my partner has to do it, but he seems to be getting some kind of sadistic pleasure in it, you know, like he'll say, I don't know, was that a good one? We'll have to go again. And, you know,
where does he prick you? What is it?
It's your fingers. So we alternate the fingers. But but then hilariously, because I was complaining last night, I was like, the fingers are getting really sore. And he was like, we might move on to your thighs or your legs. I was like, no, rubbish. And then before he gives an old prick, he always says, I love you. Which is really sinister.
I used to, because we did IVF, Hannah had to take, what was it, injections?
Progesterone.
Progesterone injections, which I had to administer into the bum cheeks.
Because I had to move my bum.
And and I used to just apologize every time during it. Just I felt guilty every time I did it. I never got used to it.
I don't think you ever said I love you.
No.
That's just EastEnders villain, isn't it? Like I love you before the but it is. I mean, it's even for any friends of mine who had to do those injections. It was always the partner, you know, that I had to do because.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's fine. The diet, as you can imagine, is fairly restrictive.
So like it's no sugar and stuff.
Because it's not just people think about sugar. I think people always assume, oh, you can't have Mars bars, but they forget that certain fruits are very high in it.
Do you know what, the fruit is what I'm missing so much because you see I think you do, I mean, in pregnancy as well there's a lot of guilt, so I kind of talk about that a lot on my blog, you know, that you kind of feel guilty for everything. But I had been eating healthy enough. So I was just surprised to hear that I had it. But they just said, look, it's just kind of the luck of the draw kind of thing. But you do question, you're thinking, oh, you know, could I have, you know, eaten better? But the main things I miss, you know, obviously you can't have the Mars bars and stuff, but the fruit and, you know, even just nice bread. You know, we have a bakery down the road now, and obviously it's the carbohydrate really is what you have to be careful of.
Not to stereotype, my family's Irish, and the Irish diet is relatively high in carbs, I would say.
The spuds, my favourite sandwich is a potato salad sandwich, and that's not even a joke. I'm just like, get that potato, put it between two slices of bread, and I'm happy. Yeah. It is funny because, again, I was saying to, you know, my partner, Fred, because I'd have to do a 20-minute walk after each meal. So usually I find by the time I've done the walk after the meal, washed up after the meal, had my prick, it's time for the next meal. It's just as well I don't have a real job.
In a way, that's preparing you for breastfeeding.
Yeah.
That's probably very true. Have you been breastfeeding?
Yeah. Just exclusively breastfeeding is what they call it. That little acronym is EBF, discovered.
Oh, nice. You're an EBFer.
Yeah. So Twyla has had a little bit of wind. Yes. And so
I should also say that she has just done a poo. Just so anyone just
look, we all have Twyla. No judgment there.
I'm surprised honestly, we didn't hear it. You must have taken the microphone away from
I did.
Me.
It's also the mic's aiming at my mouth.
Which is not aiming at her bum.
She looks quite happy for somebody's just.
Well, she's totally chilled out now. Once she does them, she got a bit fiddly for about 5 minutes. And then once it comes out, she's zen.
It's the release. I love it.
But it's with the wind, I got told yesterday that after feeding her, I should keep her sat upright for 20 minutes because I haven't been burping her all the time or things like that. And someone just suggested that's a way to do it. Mm-hmm. And that suddenly after you've fed, you're supposed to do both breasts. So you have a go on one, try and wake her up a little bit, do the second one, then hold her up for 20 minutes. And then it's time. To go again, pretty much.
It's time to go again. Yeah. And how have you been finding it? Because I do really want to breastfeed.
Yeah.
I keep saying that at the appointments when they ask me, because they are, you know, they ask you all the time, are you still planning on breastfeeding? And you're like, yeah, I mean, I hope so. But, you know, I really hope like, you know, it works out okay because I'd love to do it.
I was determined to do that. And for me, actually, I've been very lucky. It's been going very smoothly.
Yeah. Great. However,
it was on maybe day 3 or 4. So the first couple of days I was like, oh, this is easy. It's just really happening fine. And she could latch on. Again, there's all these words that we talk about poo. Like it's true. We just talk about poo all the time. It's so boring. But she latched on fine and she could feed fine. And then when my milk came in, which was like day 3 or 4, she kind of started fussing a bit more and freaked out and wouldn't go on properly. And then that freaked me out a bit. Mm. But we straight away got in touch with a breastfeeding consultant person. So we did a course, NCT course, which is like a pre-antenatal course. Mm-hmm. And we had a breastfeeding session there with this woman who's amazing. So we got in touch with her and that kind of got things sorted just straight away, which I recommend if you do find you have any trouble, just reach out for help early on to kind of a lactation consultant or someone like that. Because she consulted with us over Zoom and got me to try different holds and see, just was like looking at her and seeing what the problem might be. Yeah. And
well, she was very good. Cause like, I think I'm a man. So obviously I'm sort of have probably very different sort of just what I've learned over the years. But I think you were saying like, I think the way breastfeeding is discussed, it is discussed as being hard.
Mm.
Yeah.
In terms of physically, not the actual sort of hours involved in the early days, but actually the physical act of it often gets discussed as if it's really difficult. And then this Cordelia, the breastfeeding consultant, she was really positive and said like, no, like what was the statistic? Like 96% of women can breastfeed?
Yeah, 97% of women can breastfeed.
Can breastfeed. But the problem is it can be tricky if you don't learn the right latch for your baby. So what she just makes it sound so positive, and she sort of basically got Hannah to just work through each different type of hold until we found one that Twyla liked and felt comfortable with. And once she found that, it was great. And it was like, I think it's lucky because we did NCT and it's quite a middle class thing to do. It's expensive, so it's a luxury and a privilege. But you know, I do think there should be more support for helping women learn that breastfeeding isn't impossible. Do you know what I mean? I think that's what I've learned. Yeah. Actually, it's much more possible with some support and guidance.
Yeah. So through that as well, she has a there's a Facebook group that I'm part of with that, and it's that's been so useful just to check in and see problems that other people are having. And there's another there's a couple of breastfeeding people on Facebook that I follow now, and I read all that stuff quite a lot at the moment, because just if little issues come up or little things, that's been a really good network and support, I think, to help to keep that happening.
That's great. Yeah, because I think that sometimes, you know, especially obviously you're hormonal, and you as women, we tend to be very hard on ourselves anyway, but I can imagine after birth, you know, if it doesn't happen straight away, your mind immediately goes to that place of this isn't going to work, and I need to feed my baby, and this isn't happening for me. But it's nice to know that there are strategies you can use, you know, that it's not the case of, oh, the baby doesn't latch on straight away, it's not going to happen. There's different strategies that you can actually apply and get it going. Because I think, I mean, that's the thing, that like, you know, women are so hard to themselves, and the breastfeeding does seem to be something that if, you know, a woman isn't comfortable with it or it doesn't feel it's working for her, you know, sometimes maybe she can feel a bit isolated. So it's good to know that there are supports out there for people.
Yeah, and it's definitely that thing when we did these little classes, that was one of my first questions about how does breastfeeding even work? Because culturally now we're not in environments where you're with other women who are breastfeeding, or kind of in those tribal situations, or however, or in family groups. So I was like, I've never seen breastfeeding. Like if I've got friends who feed a baby, I don't look at it. I'm like, I'm cool with this. So I'm not looking at your tip right now.
You're just doing that thing.
Yeah, that's very true. Everyone's got them little weird covers that they have, like them sort of, they put a big muslin over the top or something. Is that?
Yeah.
You are in a sort of, you know, quite a repressed.
Yeah, it's like a private. It's like it's seen as a very, oh, you need to keep that private. Whereas, as you say, if you were actually watching people doing it, you know, we obviously learn by seeing, by doing, that you would then apply it in a certain. Yeah. That's
interesting. So I was like, I don't even know how it is or what it looks like.
Yeah.
And so doing those bits of learning was really, it was really just important for me to go, okay, this is how it works. I'm really glad. And again, friends going, it's hard, you're going to have a hard time, and people who are supplementing bits of formula or bottles. But yeah, I've been able to just my boobs.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
Just my boobs in her. And things like...
a magical thing, isn't it? I mean, it's insane when you think about the female body. It just blows my mind all we can do. It's
I think Carl finds it more mate, like I'm just so used to it. It's what happens.
It's so strange, because you know, it's that thing of sometimes Twyla will get, oh, she's getting worked up a bit now, I need to go and change this nappy in a sec, but you know, she'll be really tired, or you know, she'll get quite worked up because she's clearly got something going on she can't work out. And that's what you realize is, like, before they come along, you're like, you think the crying's going to be really hard for, like, because it's loud and it's, oh my god, but actually the crying is troubling because you know that there's something going on that they can't understand. Like, they don't have the understanding to work out why suddenly their stomach feels different. It's just a bit of gas, or you know, once you put yourself in their mind, you're like, oh yeah, obviously it's just traumatic for them because they can't vocalize what's going on.
Like, she just thinks she's going to die.
She thinks she's going to explode. Yeah. She's got gas. She thinks she's going to blow up.
Right? I know. So, well, Fred, my partner, was saying that. He was saying probably every time you leave a room, a baby's like, are they coming back? What's the story?
But no matter how, you know, emotional she gets, like, it's that moment where if it's hunger related, even sometimes if it's not, you know, Hannah will just plop her on her breast, and suddenly it's like just she goes into this total state of peace, and it's amazing to witness.
It is it's insane. I really hope it goes okay. I think you're right, Hannah, as well, that sometimes the language around it can be quite negative, like, you know, when people say it's gonna be hard, and it's not, you know. So you're kind of, I don't necessarily want to go into it with that mindset either. I mean, Fred, my partner now, he's the same in that he's just so excited to witness the process. Yeah. Like, even the, I was laughing because the other day he was like, when's the milk happening? And I was like, okay, please, can we discuss this at home? We're currently in a supermarket. Thank you. But I think he just can't get his head around it, that it's just this amazing thing that your body can do. The fact that, like, my body can feed a baby.
Yeah.
It's so primal, and it's just, it blows my mind completely.
Yeah.
Get yourself some gas and air and breathe deeply. We're talking on the phone while he had his arm inside my vagina.
In my head, I was saying, could you go and see if the anaesthetist is free? And what I was actually saying out loud was, help me! CD player doesn't work.
I was like, I'm sorry! Why my fucking CD player? Where's my playlist?
That's One Torn Every Minute with me, Beth Murray. Available now from Great Big Owl.
Help me!
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I mean, I definitely had that experience throughout this podcast as well, that we kind of talked about the birth and breastfeeding and all those sorts of things in a very positive way, and the things that I wanted from it and that we wanted from it. And we sort of, there'd be some people that would be like, oh yeah, good luck with that, or friends of mine who listen to it are like, yeah, you know, it's nice, it's funny to hear you talking about these things, because it's not like that at all. The birth's going to be like this, or breastfeeding's going to be like this. But in fact, it's all been really good. Like, my birth was, or her birth, our birth was really positive, and kind of like I wanted it to be. And now that breastfeeding's going all right.
Yeah, I do think, you can't just will everything to happen.
No.
But I think watching Hannah's positivity about these things, definitely, I think, has influenced how they've panned out.
Yeah, and did you guys do the hypnobirthing? Did you do that?
Sort of,
yeah. We both read the hypnobirthing book, and then I made a hypnobirthing playlist that we played during the birth.
We have our playlist. Yeah, we've it all done. A lot of Beach Boys. That's what we're going for. A lot of Beach Boys on the playlist.
A bit more
meditation music.
I've got loads of weird hippie meditation music that I made.
I'll be needing some of that too.
You can look at it's on Spotify. Keith Chegger's Hypnobirthing.
Keith Chegger's Hypnobirthing.
Oh my god, I'm gonna check that out.
And just quickly, while that reminds me, there's a new one I've set up.
Yeah.
Which is Keith Chegger's Newborn Evening, which is. For the evening, loads of meditative stuff and trying to calm a baby at night time.
You have to do that one. That'd be brilliant.
So hypnobirthing, because I'm an actor as well, I kind of was like, I sort of get the idea of it with focus and breath. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I mainly did just acting exercises and deep breathing.
Yeah.
And connecting to my voice and things like that. But we definitely, there was a sense of that in the room, wasn't there?
It's that thing, I sort of sat back because we were in this big birthing room, and Hannah was just walking around when the contractions were building throughout the day, just breathing through it. And every time I could see one come in, because she was attached to this like sort of wireless monitor. So on the screen, I could see when the contractions were building, and I'd watch
Hannah's
breathing start, and like, it was really impressive to watch. And it was amazing. I do think that breathing really helped.
We've done a hypnobirthing course now, and I think more than that, it's probably a bit of a buffet situation. Like, we're going to take some elements from it, but I think for me the breathing, like, I'm even applying that already.
Yeah,
I find it's great.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's nice that the language around it is positive as well. So again, that's something that I'd love to bring with me into the birth, but I am being a bit kind of realistic as well, especially because I'll either be probably induced or get a C-section.
Yeah.
That, you know, it probably will be quite a medical birth, as they call it, with the hypnobirthing. So, you know, I was saying to Fred, if I can take some elements from it, I think that's a good thing. And there's definitely a lot in it that is very positive.
Yeah, I think you can take some of that control definitely into the birth room, because I was in the labor ward because I had, my platelets were dropping, and so they wanted to monitor my blood, and so I was attached to a monitor for her heartbeat, my contractions, and also I had this, it's because I'm a transoxamic acid that I had to have early on, which was to do with my clotting, and I had a drip on me at some point. So I was more in the labor ward, but it was still, we were still able to create that space for what was right for us. Mm-hmm. So I think if you take that in with that sort of intention, and sort of with a confidence, I suppose, about what you want, then hopefully they'll be willing to adapt
I mean, I hope so, and I think it's no harm anyway, you know, with the hypnobirthing, a lot of it is kind of asserting what you would like to happen, and like, that's something I probably need in every aspect of my life, because I am the least assertive person ever.
Yeah,
so I think even that is a good thing, you know, to know that you can ask for certain things or say what you'd like to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of completely alien to me, really. So it's good to know that before you go in, that you can do that.
Well, I think because they were talking about induction for me, and for me, that was like, I was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. So part of that, I also think, was in my head with how she came early, because they were the week after, they were like, well, we'll talk next week about an induction. I'm like,
I know. And you see, the thing with an induction is that I don't necessarily... I probably will end up having to do it, but it's not something I necessarily want, because I do kind of believe that the baby knows when it wants to come out itself.
Yeah.
So it's something that I feel like you're kind of disrupting the flow a bit to induce it, even though I know there's medical reasons why you have to do that sometimes.
But yeah.
I really would prefer if the baby came naturally.
And so... When are they talking about doing that for you?
So they were saying, so I'm 31 weeks now, and the baby is, they think that, when I know they can be off with the weight, but they think the baby is about 5.5 pounds now. So you know, it's a big baby at this stage.
Yeah.
So I think maybe from 37 weeks, they had said 36 initially, which seems so early, but then they were saying maybe 37.
Yeah.
But I really would like him to be in there for as long as possible, you know, as long as he's happy.
Yeah. Because with Twilight, she was massive as well in all the scans. Yeah. We called her, nickname was Massive Janet the whole time, because
that's so funny.
She was like 90th percentile, 95th percentile all the way through. And then kind of, I think it was the 32 week scan where suddenly she was 70% or something.
Okay. They can be wrong. So many friends of mine have said that, like, I would say the vast majority of my friends have told me that they were completely wrong when it came to the weight of the baby. Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess then that's something for you to still be considering in terms of the induction.
I mean, it is. And look, if we have to, we have to as well. But I mean, I really would prefer not to, if at all possible.
Yeah. There was this little, there's a writer called Millie Hill who's, does this thing called the positive birth movement. She's written a book called Give Birth Like a Feminist, and another book called The Positive Birth Book. And she talks a lot about the way feminism isn't necessarily in the birth room, and we don't have the same, we kind of don't have our rights or speak up for ourselves in the same way that we could in other situations in our lives. And there's an acronym that she uses when you have any kind of discussions with medical professionals, which is brains. So you ask them, what are the benefits? What are the risks? What are the alternatives? What's my instinct saying? What happens if I do nothing? And those, if you are advised with anything and you don't necessarily feel comfortable about it, mm-hmm. just to get that spectrum of choices about what the alternatives are.
Yeah.
It's just really good I found that quite intimidating as well, because when I was seeing a hematologist as well as a birth person, can't even remember the names of that anymore, but seeing the hematologist and trying to kind of talk with her about why I might not want to do these medical things, mm-hmm. Still felt intimidating, particularly because I was in the room by myself as well at the moment.
Yes, I mean, that's a big thing, isn't it? It's a lot easier when your partner's with you and you're both on the same page.
Yeah, and just having support, that backup, that second voice to go if Absolutely. You forget something or to ask a question.
Yeah.
But I found that still really valuable, because I got some answers and I got the answers to those alternatives and things. So I think that's mm-hmm. that'd be worth taking in and having those conversations with them.
And I love that acronym actually, because it's kind of empowering, because all you're doing really is asking questions.
Yeah. 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 That it's not just, this is what it has to be. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's really, really good. Yeah.
Yeah. And what about for you? Is there any other things that you're thinking about, or the core questions that you have, or how's it generally going?
In terms of the pregnancy? I mean, like, we're kind of at this point now, I'm so excited to meet the baby. I just can't wait. And, you know, he's so active, and it's funny because you kind of feel like you really know them and they have a little personality already. It's just so surreal. And it's just been so lovely, because I think, you know, we've been trying to get pregnant for a long time.
Yeah.
So every moment is just so special, because when you didn't think it would happen.
It's
just every single part of it. I just have been enjoying so much. And this week now we've started to get stuff for the nursery and all that kind of thing. Yeah. It's really coming to life. I just can't wait now to meet the baby. I think now the overriding feeling will be one of excitement.
Yeah.
And I think to a certain extent, you know, we did the hypnobirthing and, you know, the antenatal stuff and all that. It's almost like, you know, when you're armed with such an amount of information, you just kind of want to apply it now, like go through the experience and see, you know, what happens. But I mean, I'm super excited. I'd say for my second trimester, I was quite anxious.
Yeah.
Now the third trimester now is the one where I'm kind of back on track and just feeling super pumped about it all. And, you know, I'm in a really positive place now with it, which is great.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I think for me, I've realized now, I'm looking at pregnant women on the streets and going, I loved being pregnant. Just interesting, like those things again. As a woman, it was a time that I really loved my body as well, and was like,
absolutely,
it's amazing what it can do. And I felt great with my stomach, and knowing that she was growing, and that everything I was doing was about kind of building this new human.
Yeah, and it does feel like, I think being pregnant again, because I just didn't think it was going to happen for me.
Yeah,
it feels, I never thought that I'd be part of this really special club.
Yeah.
And I just feel so lucky to be part of it. And I love my bump. I love that people see your bump, and people are so kind as well. You know, when they see you have the little bump and they're letting you skip a queue or asking if you need help, or I just think it's kind of like reaffirmed my belief in humanity in a way, because just general kindness is just off the charts when people see that you're pregnant, or even just, you know, people asking you go into a shop or a cafe or whatever and people ask, when are you due? And like, it's so lovely. I've just loved being pregnant. Like I've said to Fred, I'm probably gonna miss being pregnant, I think, as well. So I'm just trying to enjoy every minute of it.
Yeah, I think there's part of me that can't remember that feeling anymore, but I know that I loved it. And it's the same with her, just how quickly and kind of making the most of all those moments throughout the whole way along, because even at 6 weeks, she's grown so much already.
I know.
And like last night, she was asleep on me and I was going, I have to put her down. But I was like, I don't want to put her down. I just want her here. And Carl was like, well, you know, she's not going to be that little and able to scrunch up that much on you for much longer. So just let her sleep there. And so, yeah, just making the most and enjoying and, yeah, valuing all the little steps along the way.
And I'd say it's going to go so fast. Like, that's the thing. I mean, I know everyone says when you have the small baby as well that it goes so fast, but already I haven't even met the baby yet. And I'm just like, oh, I just want him to be small forever. You know, it's that kind of thing that you just... You know, even like when we had the little baby bath yesterday and we put together a changing table, I just, my heart was bursting. It was just so, I was like, he's going to be lying on the bath. I couldn't handle it. And then Fred was like, this is a great place to store cans until the baby comes along. And I was like, that's also true. It's a great place for beers.
Yeah, we've got some things like that that we'd sorted. But definitely getting the place ready early is a good... thing.
I mean, we're so early, but it's just we couldn't help it because we're so impatient. Like, that's why we found out the sex and everything. We just have no patience. We're like two children ourselves, so that's why we said we'd start doing the bits and the bobs.
Yeah, because, you know, with her coming at 38 weeks, that was one thing. On the day that she was born, I'd sort of drafted my birth plan, but I hadn't properly written it. So I was walking around the kitchen having contractions and making Carl on my laptop just finish the birth plan and print it out so we could take it in with us. So that's another thing to make sure.
Everyone says get it done early, but I think get it done definitely earlier than even that. Like, it was 2 weeks before the due date and we hadn't done it, and we ended up having to do it
because I did it on, you know, the Baby Center app, which I found great. So there's a birth plan on that with different choices and stuff, and so I did that, but then I was like, I really need to get a printer. And no more than that, like, I know it's going to be like my waters will have broken and I'll be wandering around Tralee looking for an internet cafe saying, can I just print one page, please?
Exactly. Maybe you have to handwrite it.
I mean, I could. I mean, I'm just so lazy. I know, so I'm like, I have to get a printer. It's like, you could just write it, Julie. It's 10 sentences. Come on. So I might do that for the baby.
That was a thing that our one definitely got respected and listened to, didn't it?
Yeah.
To the fact that we have the placenta in the freezer.
Do you know what? I really want to keep that as well. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they're fine. I mean, like, people do ask to do that. So it's okay.
Just have it on your birth plan, because again, at the time you might forget to mention it once the baby's just been born and they're cleaning up all around you.
Yeah.
So make sure you have it written down.
Oh yeah. Actually, that's very true. I need to make sure of that one as well.
I don't know if is there anything you want to ask of us or anything
I want to ask? Can I ask, this is terrible because it's like every woman I like ask secretly, did you have an epidural?
I didn't.
Oh, you're so, because I really think I'm gonna get one. I have so minimal pain threshold and I really don't want to get an epidural. I really want to stay strong, but I just don't know, am I gonna have the willpower? No, did you find, was it the breathing that helped you?
Definitely the breathing helped me.
Okay.
I found the pain really interesting, like, you know, in terms of kind of hypnobirthing and way that say don't talk about pain. Like, I didn't really feel it as pain that much. Okay. It was kind of like period pain to start off with, the contractions.
Right. And then got
a bit stronger. But it was so interesting being hooked up to this monitor with the contractions. I could see how much my brain had influence over them.
Wow.
So a point where I really went very zen and kind of breathed very deeply and sat down and went into this almost like a meditation state, I saw the contractions drop right down and I was like, okay, well, that's not good actually, because I need to be having a baby. So I got up and started walking around. And then they started moving again. And the one main one was my waters didn't break until late in the day. I was already quite dilated. I was already fully dilated before my waters broke.
Wow.
And they exploded.
I didn't know that could even happen.
Me neither.
Yeah. They exploded all over the midwife. It was pretty
impressive. Wow. Yeah. Okay, because that's like, I mean, that's like horror film stuff, by the way, like exploding out of it. But I thought the waters broke first.
Yeah, they didn't.
Didn't know that.
Had contractions and then waters broke like late in the day. And so they hadn't broken. And I said out loud, I mean, no, I said in my head, I was like, come on, Waters, it's time to break. And this contraction just went, poof, like it was, it absolutely spiked. So just knowing what's, you know, the power of your mind in there.
That's real, like that's like Matrix stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I'm just expecting you to say, and then Keanu Reeves walked in, and I'm like, but so you must have been so happy you didn't get the epidural, were you? Because anyone I've spoken to that hasn't got it is like, it's tough, but I'm so delighted I didn't get it.
Yeah, I think, I mean, yes, but I also was open to the fact if that was something that needed to happen, then yeah. I was fine with that. So. Yeah. It's just good that you can have the option and you know that that's there if it gets to that point and you don't feel like you feel like it's too much for you, and that's not a big deal. Like once you're in the room, it is whatever goes is what's gonna help.
Because I think, you know, having spoken to, like, say, even my friends and stuff who've had epidurals and those who haven't, you know, I would love not to have it. But I was laughing because the last hypnobirthing course I did, they showed a video of, you know, say, like, a baby, you know, where a mother has had an epidural immediately after the birth versus a non-medicated birth. And, you know, it was actually, because then I felt massively guilty because the baby in the epidural birth was kind of a bit drowsy, like almost strung out a bit.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking, oh, that's terrible now, because I'm going to have that visual in my head, you know, if they offer you an epidural, which is kind of, I don't know, it was a bit disappointing because, I mean, so many people have epidurals and the babies are grand, but they were just kind of contrasting, you know, the baby in the non-medicated birth was a lot more alert.
Yeah.
Versus the baby who was a little bit drowsy from the epidural. And I was like, God, I kind of hate now that that'll be in the back of my head when you're trying to make the choice for you.
I think what's the one that is very transferable through the placenta, the opiate one?
Yeah.
I forgot what it's called.
Diamorphine.
That's one that's often
Not is that more transferable, guys?
That one is really, that one they say your baby will be much more drowsy when they come out, because that one is really transferable. Because it's morphine, essentially.
Yeah.
And so that was the one I think you would.
That was the one I was like, I'm not going to do that.
Definitely, yeah.
That I didn't want to do that. I would have done an epidural above that. Yeah,
I didn't know that, but that's really good to know.
Yeah, and I think as well, like there should be no shame about what choice you make or what happens.
Yeah.
And whatever, babies come out in different ways, however they're born, you know, whether they're drowsy or whether they wake up, whether they're out and they're screaming straight away, like that's...
And also it is once you're in the room, like I've always saw myself as... a vegan hippie, like I thought I'd be in the room just chanting, and you know, like the baby would walk out and we'd all hug as a family or something. But actually, once you get into that final sort of stretch, the hour and a half where this baby's about to come out, it's so intense and like it's really full on, not in a bad way, but in a really like emotional heightened sense of like this is so big. That, you know, they could have asked me to sacrifice a goat at that point and I would have done it.
Yeah. I can imagine, because the momentum is such that it's all about just this baby is on the way. So
but that's why I think people shouldn't be judged for their decisions at that point, because it is so intense.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, I did end up, I had an episiotomy, which is again something I was like, I don't really want to do that, but during that last stretch, pushing her out, that was just, they suggested it, and I was like, whatever is going to help get her out at this stage is what I'll do.
Mm-hmm. She was there, you could see her.
And one thing I would suggest is to actually look at the anatomy of how a baby comes out, because that was one thing I didn't understand in that last pushing time. I didn't feel pain necessarily. They were just like, you've got to push down, push, and that she had to get around this corner, and I couldn't picture what they were talking about. And that for me was what I was finding difficult in that last section of trying to push her out. So that's something I'd recommend, just to look at
In terms of the birth canal, because it's kind of like a J, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And they get to a point and then kind of have to, move and come upwards. And
Actually, that's very true, because if you had a visual in your mind, it would probably help.
Yeah. seeing as I'd seen the power of my mind on the screen.
I can't get over that. And yeah. I can't get over that your waters broke after the fact. That's yeah. just crazy.
Yeah. And when it happened, when they did break, I thought I'd done a massive diarrhea shit over everybody because it was like, it was an explosion.
It was like, so, you know, those fire hydrants in New York and you always see the kids like playing in them. It was that kind of thing.
It was. It happened. I just turned to Carl and I was like, is that poo? Did I just poo? And he was like, no, that was your waters.
It's insane. I didn't know that now.
Yep. Well, there you go.
There you go. But isn't that why it's good to talk as well?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now I know. I'd be here on the side of a mountain in Dingle waiting for my waters to break. Yeah. And it's like, no, that might necessarily happen.
Yeah. That happened too. My contractions really started kind of at 7 o'clock in the morning. She was born at 7 p.m. And my waters broke at 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is so interesting.
Yeah.
Well, she's absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. I mean, and she's such a good baby, by the way.
Carl's a very calming influence, so she responds to that in the same way that I do.
I'm getting that vibe from Carl. Thankfully, my partner is very zen as well, because honestly, there's only room for one neurotic in this relationship, and that's me.
I think I know Fred.
I bet you do. He's got ginger hair.
Yeah, I know Fred. I think we've been together a number of times.
And he plays the guitar.
Yeah,
and
that's we met in Kilkenny years back, and then I saw him in Edinburgh last year, I think.
Oh, that's sad. Do you know what? And his show last year was so, so good, but it was really hard. The venue he was in.
Yeah, I know. I remember I talked to him.
It was a bit off the beaten track for him, so I felt really bad because the show was so great.
Yes.
And you know yourself with Edinburgh, it's like if you say to someone, it's just 10 minutes down there, they're forget it. I can imagine
Fred being a good dad. He'll enjoy it. He'll have fun because he's, you know, I know his temperament.
Yeah, well, he's a big kid himself. So, exactly. And I was delighted as well, like when I found out it was a little boy, because I was like, a mini Fred, two Freds. I'm so, like, Fred's running joke, Anna, is that he's like, what does he say about himself? He's like, oh, he's like an Ed Sheeran if he let himself go. Like that kind of, he's a real kind of ginger, wears the checkered shirts, all that kind of thing. But I just can't wait. My dream is to have a mini Fred for Christmas, dress him up in an Ed Sheeran shirt. Now, Fred is saying no to this, but it's happening. And then Fred is also going to have a matching shirt. That's what I'm doing. I'm going American Christmas card on it. Okay,
yes. Do it.
We did an episode of this with Josh Howie, comedian, who basically, because when we interviewed Josh's wife, Monique, who's a child psychologist, and she's had 5 children, and she talked us through her births and stories, and basically she said that Josh was the best birth partner you could ever imagine, to the point that the midwife at the first birth literally said to Josh after the birth, you're the best birth partner I've ever seen in my history of being a midwife.
So
we did an episode with Josh to talk through what it takes to be a good birth partner. So tell Fred to have a listen before.
Oh my God, I love that. And what was it that he was, you know, doing?
The main crux of what Josh was getting at, which I really took on board, was more there as a sort of, obviously you're there for support for your partner, but you're also there as an almost go-between between your partner and the midwives at the point of, like, when it gets very heightened, that your partner might be in such a sort of heightened state of emotion that she might not be taken on board what the midwives are saying, because they're talking in very medical terms. So you've almost got to translate it into, right, this is what they want you to do, but you're saying it from you as somebody they trust. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like, you're like a sort of go-between.
And that definitely really works. Like, Carl was behind me in my ear and the midwives were down the business end, and they were saying things like, you're doing a great job, you're doing a great job. And I didn't necessarily believe them. And then Carl would say, you're being amazing. And I'm like, okay, I believe that.
I couldn't help looking down as well. So I was also able to see the progress, whereas Hannah couldn't. So when Hannah felt like she was hitting a wall and Twyla wasn't moving out, I could actually say, no, they're telling the truth. You can literally see her head.
Whereas I was like, who's these strangers pretending that it's all good nothing's happening?
So that's what I
love that, like, you know, the partner being empowered as well is so lovely that, you know, that they have a role. It's really, really important.
And also, and a wristband.
And in the early part, oh, early yeah. part
festival
of the day.
Wristband.
Just the first part of the day when everything's actually quite chilled, but, you know, Hannah was going through contractions. I found it, I just felt like you got to know when to just shut up and let mm-hmm. them do it. You got to know when to get them a snack or change the music or have a laugh and a chat. Like, do you know, you just got to basically... Just be changeable and mm-hmm. malleable.
And if you're not good at that yet, just start practicing asking him to do things for you.
Yeah. And you know what? I am going to do that because I'm so bad. I'm such a control freak. Yeah. And I realize now before the birth, I need to start, you know, letting Fred load the dishwasher however he mm-hmm. wants. There's no right or wrong way, Julie. Come on, stop it. Yeah. So, no, do you know what? And he's been so doughty and he's so into it, the whole thing,
yeah.
that I just can't wait. And I really hope in that moment that he feels he's as part of it as I am. Would be lovely.
Yeah. Well, we hopefully we'll get to meet you all at Edinburgh next year.
Hopefully. Oh, do you know what? With our babies.
Can hang out. Yeah.
It's going to happen. And the babies are going to have a play date and be best buds.
Yeah.
Sorry, Twyla, you've no choice. You have to be best friends with my son.
Okay, I'll be able to get some snore.
Yeah, she's fine.
Guys, it was so lovely to meet you.
Yeah, you too. Thank you so much for talking to us. And good luck.
Thanks so much, Hannah. Thank you.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Heavy Pencil.
An actor of my experience, you just get wrung dry.
A podcast sitcom with Anna Crilly and Tony Gardner.
I played Edmund Gelder, and he played Fanny Snatch.
The Observer called it
a lovely thing, wonderfully funny, pitched perfectly, produced with a light touch.
I'm not having any more of this. I need you to pull me off immediately.
Heavy Pencil from Great Big Owl.